Dukes and Bell live at Hooters, Mall of Georgia. First day of camp in the books, and you're going to hear our interview with Michael Penix Jr. coming up in about 10 minutes. Stay right there. Also, we've got a family four-pack for you and your family to come to Margaritaville, Lanier Islands Water Park. Mike and I are going to be there August 1st.
Are we going to take our shirts off?
If you want to.
I think it'd be a good opportunity to take our shirts off.
Let's do it. 2 to 6. I love that water park. It's fun. They got some fun slides. I don't care. Now, I will say this. Because of some of the stuff that's... They used to be more open. I'm just going to say Anyways, 2 to 6, August 1st. Tickets provided by Margaritaville at Lanier Islands Water Park. Tickets on sale, Margaritaville Resorts.
Bring my boat up with my wife. You want to meet my wife, Carl?
I'd like that. What's her name?
Her name's Veronica.
Veronica.
She's got freckled shoulders and other stuff, too.
Freckled shoulders.
Yeah, and other things in the front. Please, Carl. It's totally appropriate.
If I was that guy, I'd say something like, show me. All right.
This is not Cocktail Cove, but we will do our best to make it into it.
It's not. But we're going to be up there, man, and we've got tickets for you. As we discussed day one, today, and Mike, here's the deal. I got to ask you this, and I may ask you this every day that we're up here. We're live at Hooters again. Folks have made their way in. The bar's packed. We're having a good time. Come hang out with us. Beers are flowing. How do you feel? How do you feel?
Now, we were joking around. Some of this we were having fun with because every year, for the last 25 years, I mean, hell, I was excited going into 2007 with Bobby Petrino. Of course, Mike Vick kind of had something to say about that season. I am measuredly optimistic.
Okay.
How's that?
All right.
I'm not going to be the hype man.
You didn't like Pitts catching the ball today?
No, I'm glad to see Pitts, but as I...
You didn't like those deep balls to Pitts today?
I was just talking to our boys. I said, I got two words for Pitts. Compensatory pick.
Yeah.
Because that's probably what it's going to wind up being. Because when you look at... You know, let's just say for argument's sake, Kyle Pitts is right up there with Kelce, you know, right up there with the elites at tight end.
Yes, please. Yes, please.
You know, do you say 2 years out of five equals a... Pick your number. What the top tight end makes? That's a hard conversation for me to say yes to. You know, that's why I'd say I'd rather just get back to the drawing board on tight end, and we'll just pay Drake London and Bijan.
Wait a minute. The season hasn't even started yet. You're ready to move on from Kyle Pitts. He hasn't even shown you what he can do.
I was ready to move on from Kyle Pitts 2 years ago, like most of the bar right here. I mean, look, if he brings us something, that's great, and he needs to. And you and I said it. Is Zach Robinson going to get him? Is he going to be integrated into the offense? Or is his lack of production last year because he didn't do the work he needed to buy that confidence from his offensive coordinator? It's the great chicken and the egg. I think the truth lies somewhere in the middle.
All right. Look, for me today, and look, there was no one touting this more last season, and this is why I was probably more disappointed than most.
You said he was the linchpin to the season.
The key. If Pitts can do these things, Mike, the offense looks different and it opens up so much more. I mean, everybody is oohing and aahing at Bijan catching a little quick hitter. Imagine what that opens up for Bijan underneath. Imagine what it opens up for Ray McLeod underneath. I mean, all of these things we've been talking about. So I am like, dude, show me. I'm with you. But I'm happy to see that they're making a concerted effort to look like they want to go to this guy.
So it's kind of funny. This is something we've been literally talking about every other week. We get into the Kyle Pitts conversation. First thing that Michael Penix Jr. says in front of the media, we got KP the Rock today. So we'll see where that goes. One thing for sure, Darnell Mooney took a hard hit today. See him when he went down? Was that Ray? It was Darnell, right?
Yes, it was Darnell on the deep
ball. Yeah, it was a deep ball, and I think it was, I want to say D. Alford, some other guys converged on the ball, and he kind of got elevated because a couple guys were asking as we were at practice, you know, what happened. He kind of looked like he was walking off to the side. You know, I didn't see anything on a medical for him as far as from the Falcons, but he did get elevated. He came down hard, so that's probably why, erring on the side of a precaution.
No doubt about it. We'll talk plenty about what Michael Penix had to say to us. Also, you will hear Raheem Morse, who jumped on with Andy and Randy today at live at Flowery Branch. And as far as Raheem today, you know, I asked him, Mike, about the defense specifically and said, do you feel like the playmaking has been upgraded? And he absolutely laid out, yeah, I do. When you add the draft picks that we had to what we already have here with Bates and AJ and Caden Ellis, and there was a lot of talk about Caden Ellis today as well because of his unique skill to be able to rush the passer and also play middle linebacker. But he feels like the playmaking has been upgraded, and that was good to hear from the coach who is going to be in on it at some point
with the
defensive coordinator putting plans together to try to slow down some of these offenses. So as far as the defense is concerned, that's the side of the ball for me, and I've been saying this, I'm watching a little bit more. The offense is going to be showcased because everybody wants to see Penix throw the ball. I'm paying attention to the defense.
Hey, one of the other things, guys, James Pierce Jr. We spent a lot of time talking about, you know, Jalen Walker just comes out from the Kirby, you know, Smart Football Academy, and he comes out polished, sounds like a CEO. And, you know, with the first interview we had with James Pierce, you know, he was kind of like, you know, kind of a little awkward because, you know, he's getting more comfortable with it. Had a fun conversation with Tori McElhaney, who writes for the Falcons website. She was saying how, you know, he came up to her and said, hey, be patient with me. I'm getting better at this. So he's making a concerted effort to be more comfortable with the media.
Yeah.
You and I were talking with him after we did the media scrum, and I told him about, you know, what his former teammate had to say, you know, from Tennessee, and he kind of got a smile on his face. And he said, yeah, he goes, I'm getting more comfortable in front of the microphone. And that's cool because I will say this, the size and the speed element, I mean, it does show. He looks the part. I mentioned earlier Zach Harrison, who's kind of been, you know, if not underwhelming, just haven't seen the full potential. He in the rotation defensively with that size, all of a sudden, now that you and I spent a lot of time earlier about defensive tackle, along with, you know, Onyemata and certainly with Rook Ororo, that all of a sudden becomes something now, wow, we may have something there. If Zach's going to really, you know, live up to that potential. Remember, he was the man at Ohio State, wound up being a third-round pick.
Correct. There was a moment today, I'm trying to remember who he was playing against, because
Zach beat Jake one-on-one in one sequence.
I'm talking about off the edge. It was – who was the tackle that was out there? Oh, Storm Norton. Storm Norton was on the field. And Caleb McGarry, which we'll talk a little bit about here as well coming up, he spoke to the media today. Caleb McGarry is just a, you know, very simple dude. He's not looking to add any sauce to anything.
Right.
And kind of deflected a lot of questions as well when they asked him about, you know, what's it like with Michael Penix in the huddle? And he was like, well, takes command of the huddle. I mean, like, what do you want me to say? But Storm Norton was playing against on the edge.
Right.
And at one point, Mike, there was a conversation with Pierce. And, you know, they're close enough to the sidelines. And we heard from his teammate how Pierce used to get upset at the scout team sometimes if they didn't give him the right look.
Right.
And he says to Norton, they're talking back and forth, and you hear Pierce go, that ain't it. That ain't it. And it was funny.
Yeah, you're not
this
doing
is a rookie, though.
Right, he's bringing it.
This is a rookie. And I'm like, okay. Now, again, guys, everything is up. You're not trying to hurt your teammates. These guys don't have on full pads yet. This is you coming in off of mandatory minicamp. You're starting where you left off, and you have installed a lot of stuff, and guys know what to do. But I was kind of surprised it even said anything, Mike. And we heard it on the sideline, and I looked over at Mike Johnson from the morning shift, and Mike and I kind of looked at each other, and I was like, okay, you know, I like to hear this. A rookie normally just does what he's supposed to do. This guy was like, that ain't it. And he was telling Storm Norton, who's been in the NFL, like, I need more, or stop the nonsense. Either way, I loved it.
And that's something we talked about, and I mentioned to him about Bryson Eason, who's a defensive lineman for Tennessee. We spoke to at the Hall of Fame at SEC Media Days, saying that he was a practice dog. I mean, not dog in practice, like he was a dog in practice. And so that runs counter to the things that we heard, again, in the lead-up that was out there in the media and the pre-draft stuff, which, as we said, could be some nonsense. And I'll tell you what, he's a likable dude, and I think he's getting more and more comfortable, but you just can't coach that size and speed that he brings.
You were talking about Zach Harrison. I was talking about Taquan Graham, and I think Taquan Graham is another guy.
Right.
When I said nobody's blocking him at Texas, you talked about Zach Harrison. Those two guys, to me, both of them, when you talk about usage and how you're going to utilize them in the middle of this defensive line, can help. And that's where now with Leonard Floyd, and if you're going to put Caden out there in some cases, and you've got James Pierce, and, oh, we hadn't even mentioned Jalen Walker, you can move those guys inside because they're versatile.
Right.
Those are the two guys, and I mix-matched the names, but Harrison, I was talking about Taquan Graham.
Caden Ellis would have busted up a play. It was a swing pass to Bijan. Caden Ellis is right on top of that. So he looks like he's, again, he's always a leader and always looks the part. And the offensive line. You know, we talked about, you know, the strength of the unit and how is New Zeal going to do the job at center. Didn't see any problems there. The only penalties were a couple offsides, no false starts today.
Sure.
So trying to keep it clean. And usually the defense has the advantage the first few weeks of preseason, but there were some plays to be made. As we said, Kyle Pitts was making plays.
404-726-0929. Invite you to follow us on social media. Mike Bell, ATL, and I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes, the radio show is Dukes and Bell 929. Follow this radio station at 929 The Game. See my man over here from Buford. Who's in here from Buford?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the team look like, man? What y'all going? Y'all going to be all right?
He said that some guys are upset with the salary cap this year at Buford.
So they're trying to. I understand.
They're trying to work around that. And then Dave, my boy, there's my boy from Section 342.
My man.
And a proud Seminole, by the way. I look at Dave. I go, I think we'll have lots of tickets for you this year in Tallahassee.
He brought us cool gifts last year.
Yes, he did.
Thank you.
That's almost like you're asking him to do it again.
Well, I wouldn't say it. You did. But I'm just saying, he brought us really cool gifts. Thank you for being
personalized
here,
Falcon and FSU mugs.
Appreciate y'all. And I know some staff up there with Buford. You guys, man, do an excellent job. High school football is right around the corner, by the way. Excited about that as we get Falcons camp underway. Mike's going to have more in Guy Talk. But I got to mention, if you've not heard, Hulk Hogan passed away today, 71 years old, cardiac arrest, which, again, you would think, okay, all those years of all the things that
he put in his body.
But Hulk Hogan, a pivotal figure, guys, and look, politics aside, iconic when it comes to what he did for wrestling, how he grew the sport, and more importantly, Mike, the role he played over the last 35 years. So Hulk Hogan passing away today at age 71.
I think most of us in radio over the years, you had a chance one time or another to interview the guy, and everything you saw, that was him. I mean, he was that guy. He lived the gimmick. But as we say, there's generally not much of an old-timer's day for wrestlers. Surprising that Ric Flair is still cooking. We just talked about Rick, you know, battling skin cancer and getting it done. But, yeah, man, 71 for the Hulkster. And as we said, those guys, the damage they do to their bodies, both whether it's internally or externally, but amazing. Legend. He was a big part of that Vince McMahon documentary on Netflix with all the things that he did both with WWE and then making the switch coming over to Turner. Remember the NWO and all that?
Legendary.
And an icon. And as you said later on, like it or not, you know, coming back on the national stage in politics, speaking at the Republican National Convention.
Ric Flair posted, I'm absolutely shocked to hear about the passing of my close friend Hulk Hogan. Hulk has been by my side when we started in the wrestling business. Incredible athlete, talent, and friend, father. Our friendship has meant the world to me. He's always been there for me, even when I didn't ask it. Long post. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Ric Flair, he's got pictures up, and people are certainly reacting to that as Hogan passing away today.
You know, and it's funny, you don't want to be trite because, you know, these are people that are iconic and mean so much to a lot of our audience. But amazing how, you know, you lose Malcolm Jamal Walker, Warner, I should say, and then you lose, you know, Hulk Hogan. We already talked about Ozzy Osbourne. And I know it's cliche, but it does seem to happen. Chuck Mangione also passed away.
Yes, he did.
Legendary jazz trumpeter from back in the day.
All right, guys, coming up, our conversation with our quarterback. You want to know what Michael Penix is thinking, what he feels about this particular training camp now that he is officially the starter? You will hear it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.